Last night, I spoke of some of the memories I had of growing up in Crown Heights, Brooklyn, on the days of Rosh Hashanah. Beautiful memories. Memories that involved my father bringing what he called the Chinese apple, which years later I learned was called a pomegranate by everyone outside of New York. The meaning of the roundness of the challah and honey on an apple, the eating of fish on Rosh Hashanah, and the like. Beautiful traditions connected with Rosh Hashanah. But there is one Jewish memory I have that's not connected to any holiday, because it was in my home every day of the year. It was a reproduction of a painting, the artist of which I had no idea, nicely framed in the living room, of what we all assume must have been called a rabbi. It was a man with a beard, a yarmulke, a talis around his shoulders, and his right hand extended in this position, and black stripes on that arm. It was what I came to know later on was Chagall's, one of his most famous of all paintings. I never heard of Chagall. I didn't know much of art. But that painting that was on the wall of my home had a deep, deep impression on me. When I did learn of Chagall's work, I was not impressed. People floating in the air, colors that looked smeared on the canvas, cows and goats and houses looking as if they were painted by a child. Unimpressed. And even throughout my education, I never got to develop an appreciation for great impressionist art. A number of years ago, I was in France, in the Impressionist Museum, maybe for the fourth or fifth time. And I marveled at the works I saw there. But when I went down to St. Paul de Vence in the south of France and went to the museum there with many Chagall works, I was still unmoved. People floating in the sky, paint smeared on a canvas, children's level of drawing of goats and cows, even the fiddler on the roof looked like he was about to fall. I had seen Chagall's work in the synagogue at Hadassah Hospital in Jerusalem. And I don't know if I was impressed at all by anything more than the fact that I was told that I should be impressed. These were the Chagall windows, and people stood on line to see them. And at the Metropolitan Opera and the Music Center in New York, Chagall drapes on the second story. In the United Nations, Chagall masterpiece. Everybody must have known something that I didn't. I was unmoved. Then the Jewish Bulletin of Northern California decided to change its format and turn itself from a tabloid into a magazine called J. People who were Holocaust survivors might be offended by that. When a Jew was able to leave Germany as the war was beginning, those rare occasions, they found the J stamped on their passport. And that J ultimately prevented many from leaving. It was a mark of anti-Semitism. But the young generation in San Francisco were not modeling themselves off from German passports with a J, but rather with the way in which J is being used in modern America. A cute title for the Jewish community, for young people. And so they published a new magazine called J, and shocked us all with the first issue on the cover showing a young man in the pants that are too low for any of us to regard respectfully, leaning against the wall saying, "High holy days, who cares?" That young man is the grandson of an Orthodox cantor. They launched their magazine at a beautiful reception hall at the Museum of Modern Art. Hundreds of people came from all over the city. It was a marvelous affair. I got to meet many, many people because I'm being new to San Francisco. There were so many I had not yet encountered. A few other rabbis, a lot of community leaders, people who were movers and shakers of the Jewish community trying to make things happen, trying to reverse the cover of that magazine, using their efforts to bring people in, to let them know that there is something of value in Judaism that they should care about. They were there, committed to the effort of making a tradition of 4,000 years meaningful to the Jewish, to the young Jews of tomorrow. When the reception was over, I had a little sticker on my lapel, and I went upstairs to see the Chagall exhibit. Why? Certainly not a lover and appreciator of Chagall's work, but a Jew nevertheless. And besides which, I was already there. And I'm one of those people who intends to go to exhibits and functions that are through November 4th, and then all of a sudden realize it's November 5th and I missed it. So why take a chance? So I went upstairs. I spent the next 6 hours in that exhibit. It moved me profoundly. I don't think I was ever before touched by art. And I want you to know, those who know me well, know that when I was a little child, I did not have the intention of being a rabbi. My dream was to become an artist. Not to look at other people's paintings, but to paint my own. And I went from room to room, from painting to painting, touched like I'd never been before. What was it that moved me? The earphone that gave me an explanation of Chagall's background I didn't need. That I already read. Learning his juxtaposition of color here and there, okay. But that didn't make Chagall unique and special. What ultimately touched me deep, deep in my heart, deep in my soul, was the realization that Marc Chagall, this Jewish boy born in Vitebsk in a shtetl who had never seen a paintbrush until he was near Bar Mitzvah, this young man who traveled to study in Paris, who went back to Russia, left before the First World War, made his way to New York, then back to France. This man integrated successfully his Jewish identity with modern culture. He integrated successfully his Jewish identity with modern culture. And that is the challenge of the 20th and the 21st century. That's what my life is all about. Of growing up as a boy in Brooklyn across the street from Ebbets Field and wanting to see every game but not buying a hot dog. Loving television and Milton Berle and Howdy Doody but not flicking it on Shabbat. Going out with girls to see a movie but only there after there were 3 stars on Saturday night. My life and the American Jewish challenge is to integrate our tradition and our Jewish identity with modernity. And that's what Marc Chagall did. Marc Chagall made it into the deepest and most sophisticated circles of art in Europe. He was an acclaimed painter in Paris. It wasn't until the world got to know who he was that he achieved greatness. He was commissioned to paint murals in churches. He was well respected by the Jewish, by the artistic community even in Russia. And one of the most magnificent pieces of all is actually the recreation of the Chagall panels from the theater in what was the Soviet Union. And yet, he always retained his tie, his roots, to that little shtetl and everything it stood for. It was not the houses, it was not the streets. It was not even the people. It was their values of what they stood for that kept burning alive like a flame in his heart and on his palate. Marc Chagall lived amongst the moderns in Paris. He learned from them, he was influenced by them, and he influenced them. His acquaintances were some of the greatest names that the world of art heard throughout the 20th century. He was respected for his innovation and his refusal to participate in some of the movements, the artistic movements in Paris in his day. And he went on to paint until virtually the day of his death. A man living almost a full century. And yet, his Yiddishkeit, his sense of who he was as a Jew, is present in every single painting. In the art theater of the Soviet Union, he has all of the people dancing and singing and parading, but a clown upside down, standing on his hand with tefillin wrapped around his hand. In a painting of the crucifixion, again and again and again, the Christian Savior is draped with a tallis. And thus he forces his Christian counterparts to confront the fact that if they are going to identify with a suffering servant, remember, not only was that suffering servant a Jew, but you are making his descendants suffer today. And every single piece of art had such a message. He lived the life of integrating his Jewish identity with modernity. And my friends, that is not an easy task. Baruch Spinoza in the 17th century tried to do it. He was an incredible thinker. He was considered amongst many as the first of modern philosophy. And he began to see and to preach, to teach that the sanctity of the Torah does not come from a dictated word of God, but it's a sacred text because of its sanctity to the Jewish people over centuries. And the church was frightened of what he was teaching. Pressure was brought on the Jewish community, and Spinoza was excommunicated. You cannot remain a Jew and a modern person at the same time, said the rabbis of Amsterdam. That event of 1656 ultimately cut off our people from intellectual modernity for generations. It came up again with Moses Mendelssohn. In the 1700s, this brilliant, absolutely brilliant philosophical genius, a little man, who achieved great respect in the Christian world of Berlin, refused to allow his Judaism to be forgotten. He remained a Shomer Shabbat and Shomer Mitzvot all his life. But his children converted to Christianity because they could not imagine how you could actually continue to live life as a Jew and be in the modern world. It didn't seem possible to them. They weren't geniuses. They were plain Parshat Yidden, simple Jews. His son's name was Abraham, Abraham Mendelssohn, Abraham and Sarah. They're the parents of Felix Mendelssohn. Felix Mendelssohn, the great composer, who retook the name Mendelssohn from the last name that his parents had changed. Because he tried to recapture a sense of Jewish identity. In the beginning of the 19th century, in the year 1807, Napoleon convened a Sanhedrin. He decided to bring together a group of rabbis and sages of the Jewish people living in France, along the lines of the great Sanhedrin of the Talmud, to elevate the Jewish community to equality, fraternity, and liberty. And the message to the Jews was, as Frenchmen, all rights. As Jews, no rights. Meaning what? You can choose. You must choose. You have to sever all ties with your ancient homeland and all ties with your co-religionists in other countries. You can be Jewish by religion, but not by civilization, not by culture, not by community. Choose between your ancient tradition and your Jewish identity or modernity. You want to live amongst us? Give that up. You want that? Back to the ghetto. And again and again and again throughout Jewish history, we have more often than not unsuccessfully tried to meet the challenge of living with one foot in our tradition, in our heritage, in our identity, and the other foot in the modern world. That is the challenge of the American Jew. That's why I became a rabbi. I never got a calling, but I began to see the incredible rate of assimilation in the American Jewish community of people who believed that they had to choose, that they couldn't be both, that they couldn't be integrated personalities. I was integrated. Baseball games with a yarmulke. I'll be a rabbi. And let the Jewish community know they don't have to choose between the two. It's possible to be integrated. And on that Friday that I spent all day in the museum, I found a counterpart in Marc Chagall. A man who never for one brushstroke forgot where he came from, forgot the values that he was taught, forgot the pride he had in his people, forgot the personalities that carved and shaped his character, and at the same time lived as fully in the modern and contemporary world as anybody could, on the forefront of art, an expressionist in the true sense of the word. That's why I'm a conservative Jew. In my Orthodox world, it seemed I had to make the choice of tradition. In the Reform, that was an alternative. It seemed that I had to be focused on change. But I wanted to balance both. Tradition and change. The ancient and the modern. The past and the present. To live as an integrated Jew. My friends, it's incredible that San Francisco is hosting the Chagall exhibit. Even if a lot of the curators don't grasp what I think should be grasped. This is the only venue in all of the United States of that exhibit. And I'm sure it's not because the other cities don't want it, but probably the deal was, if you have it at MoMA here, then it can't be in MoMA anywhere else. But what's incredible about San Francisco being chosen as the venue is that San Francisco has not been known to have an integrated Jewish community. Quite to the contrary. The history of San Francisco's Jewry that goes back 200 years was a community in which the majority of Jews felt that they had to choose modernity, choose America, and thereby give up their Judaism. And those who retained it in a way that seemed to be private and in the temple. Times were changing. This city that was regarded by the national community as assimilationist is becoming the most creative in all North America. There are things happening in the Bay Area that the rest of the Jewish world has yet to learn. The Jewish renewal movement is being born here. There are hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people now in creative synagogues and services held in all sorts of places throughout the city. Young people who had never been inside a synagogue before, or perhaps not since they went to some friend's bat mitzvah. 20 years ago. There's a new leadership that's emerging in the San Francisco Jewish community that is blending the sense of the spiritual with the sense of the traditional, that is searching for a way of integrating what it means to be a Jew in the modern world. And that's a challenge that each and every one of us faces. We can leave our Judaism in the synagogue when we walk out the door today and pick it up again when we come back tomorrow. Leave it here and get it when we come for Yom Kippur and when the final shofar is blown. It's Yom Tov Kippur. I'll see you next year. I'll see you next Shabbat. I'll see you next holiday. Or we can realize that the value of our tradition is not confined to the walls of the synagogue. Rather, this is the place to inspire us to live as Jews outside the synagogue. Judaism is a religion without walls, by definition. This is a place in which we get our batteries charged, not where we live out our Yiddishkeit. Our homes are the place that we live out being a Jew. That's where the candles belong, not on the bima. That's where a Shabbat table needs to be set, not in a social hall. That Jewish life has to permeate our values, the way in which we meet people and greet people. A sense of ethics in changing the world, in healing the bereaved, those in pain, those in despair. Tzedakah does not belong in the little box that one finds in a shul. It is the responsibility of a Jew, wherever we go, to make our mark and our Jewish values in our own lives. I hope you go see the Chagall exhibit. Get the earphones. You learn a lot. But look between the lines. Because that beautiful Hollywood resonant voice that narrates the Chagall exhibit does not really know what a talus is. And can't recognize a pair of tefillin wrapped around someone's arm. And perhaps more importantly, can't look into the eyes of the people that Chagall portrayed, who inspired his life, who taught him as a little boy that he can carry his Yiddishkeit every day he shall live. And my friends, he did.